Rachel will say good morning. Let's begin.
All right.
Okay, we'll say today's daf is Nun Aleph. We're going to pick up on the bottom last three words of Nun Amud Beis. Amar Papa Tapo Nun Aleph Kitanoi. In fact, this is in Machlokes tonight. Now remember, we're picking up from our Sugyal yesterday. Rashi says, Kitanoi Tap Rashi of Amud Aleph, Iker Shir Bepeh Obikli. So remember, again, yesterday we began a fascinating dispute as to what is the Iker Shira? What is the major part of the Shira of the Levian? Is it the song that's sung by mouth? Or is it the playing of instruments? So now Rav Papa wants to suggest that in reality, the definition of the major part of Shira is in Machlokes Tanoim, the Sanyo. This is very interesting. Avde Kohanim Hayu. Who are the people who went ahead and used to play the instruments? They were the Avodim Kananim. They were the Canaanite servants of the Levim. Excuse me, of the Kohanim. Divi Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Mishpachas Beis Hapagrim, or Mishpachas Beis Sipirio, or Me'amum Hayu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, no, the people who played the instruments were the members of the family, of the Pagris family, the members of the Sipirio family, and they were from the city of Me'amum. And apparently these individuals from these particular families had incredible yichus, and therefore they married into Kohanic families. Look at Rashi. Yisraelim miyuchasin hayu. They were Yisraelim with impeccable yichus, impeccable genealogy. Shenashem amonos ubenos son, excuse me, Shenashem amonos ubenos son, ru'yus lisa l'kohanim. Linasei kohanim. Because again, interestingly enough, we know that in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim were very much, but again, different. Some Kohanic families only married other Kohanic families, and some Kohanic families would marry into Yisrael to marry into their families, as long as what they were called Mishpachos Miyuchasos, which means again families with impeccable genealogy. So therefore, again, according to Rabbi Yossi, the instrument players were from these families of Pagrim and Sipiria, and they were known as genealogically fit families. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Levim Hayu. No, the ones who played the instruments were ultimately Levim. So the Gemara says, so now you have a three machlokes as to who are these people who were playing the instruments. My love, Bahakamef Ligi. Are they not arguing about the following idea? Demand to Amar Avadim Hayu. The one who says, i.e., Rabbi Meir, who says that the ones who played the instruments were in fact the Avadim Kananim of the Kohanim. Kasavar Iker Shira Bepeh. So he must hold that the major part of Shira is Bepeh, singing it by mouth. And therefore, again, what they're both saying, therefore, the instruments is really just a little bit of add-on. And therefore, because the instruments are not a major part of Shira, therefore, they're not the dominant, therefore, they're not part of Avodah, which means that you could really have anyone doing it, even Avodim Kananim. Umadar Levim Hayu. And the one who says that it was the Levim who were playing the instruments. Kasavar Iker Shira Bekli. He holds that note that the Iker Shira is in fact with a kli, with an instrument, and therefore again the ma'aseh, just as the Shira must be sung by Levim, so too the instruments must be played by Levim. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, b'tizbara, Rabbi Yossi my kasavar. So also you've explained, so to speak, the extremes. You've explained the position of Rabbi Meir, who says that the ones who played the instruments were Avadim Kananim, in which case, again, because it's not a regular part of the Shira, it's not an Iker part of the Shira, therefore, Lemaisa, again, you could even have Avadim doing it. You've explained the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, who says that it was Levim, because Lemaisa, again, that's why you need, because Iker Shira Bekli, that's why you need Levim to do it. But what about the middle position of Rabbi Yossi? My custom, remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that these were Yisrael from Mishpachos Miyuchasim. That these were regular Jews, not Levim, but again, they were from families with genealogical impeccability. So what's Rabbi Yossi's pshat? My kasover, ikasover, ikashira bepeh, if Rabbi Yossi holds that the ikashira is bepeh, that the dominant part of Shira is the song that is sung by mouth, afilu avadim nami, therefore again, instruments are not essential. If that's the case, avadim should be fine. Ikasover, ikashira bekli. But if he holds that the major part of the Shira is done with a kli, with an instrument, then Levim in Yisraelim lo, then Lemaisa again, Levim. Levim should be, only Levim should be able to do it, and not Yisraelim. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold? Elo, the Rabbi Yossi says, therefore the Gemara says, the kuli ama, iker shira bepeh. In reality, everyone holds that the dominant part of Shira is Peh, which means, again, remember, no one's disagreeing that instruments were used. The Shaila just is, what is the role of instruments? So now what the Gemara is suggesting is everyone agrees that the instruments were an add-on. The major part of Shira, the obligatory part of Shira, is Bepeh. Is Bepeh? Okay, if that's the case, Ubaha Kamiflagi. And here's the machloki, three-way machloki, in Rameh, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina ben Antigonus. Demar Savar Hachi Havamaisa. Umar Savar Hachi Havamaisa. So it's a very interesting answer. So the Gemara says, you know what they're arguing about? They're arguing about the Metzias. What actually happened in the Beis HaMikdash? So again, Rabbi Yosef, you have Rabbi Meir saying that it was the Avadu of the Kohanim who played the instruments. Rabbi Yossi saying that it was these Mishpachos Miuchasos, these Yisraelim who did it. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus saying that it was Levim who did it. So the Gemara says, they're not actually arguing in Halacha, they're arguing about Metzias. So the Gemara says, that can't be, because Lamai Nafkamino, who cares? And Rabbi Yossi said, we never argue just for the sake of the storyline. Obviously, the arguments have to have some level of halachic ramification or repercussions. So what's the nafkamina? To which the Gemara answers, lemalin miduchan liyuchsin ulamaiser. Oh, I will say, here's the interesting nafkamina. Do we go ahead and say that because we've seen someone on the duchan, I will say, remember what the duchan is? So, right, is are the steps. Remember, again, by the Mizbeach itself, by the Mizbeach itself, you can't really see it very well in this picture, but you see that thin strip over here, those are actually steps. So what happened is the Levim would stand on those steps in order to be able to sing Shira. So the Gemara says like this, the question is, if you see someone on that step, are we ma'ala? Do we say that if they're fit to stand on the step, that must mean what? That is a stamp of approval on their yichus, on their genealogy. And do we take a further step and say that that's a stamp of approval for their ability to eat meiser? Rabbi Yosef, in this case, the meiser that we're talking about is meiser rishon, which is the Levitic portion. So the Gemara says the following, man da'amr avadim hayu, the one who says, let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment, ma'alin miduchan, haro'ehu omeid ala duchan im alavim. If you see someone standing on, because also remember, who's standing on that duchan? The Levim are standing on that duchan. They're standing on those steps. Why the Levim standing on those steps? Why? Because Shira. So now what happens is you have all these other guys standing on that step also. What are they doing? They're playing instruments. The Shaila is, what does that mean, the fact that they're standing on those steps? So Rashi says over here, Ein tzarech li, so ha-omeid, ha-roa ehu, omeid ala duchan im alavim, ein tzarech livdok, acharav, lo lahasio miyuchasos, velos lases lo maiserishon. So do we say that if someone is standing on that step, you don't have to check into his yichus before he gets married? Because if you're standing on that step, that is a genealogical seal of approval. Furthermore, again, you don't have to look into his yichus to see if he can eat maiserishon. Because if he's on that step, then obviously he's a Levi. Devadei Levi hu. Shemipnei davarzeh. Lohir gilu lahamid sham ki im levim kedesh lo yitu bahem bnei adam lachzikim kelevim bein levim. So we'll say here's the machlokas. Man do amar avadim hayu. So the man do amar, i.e. Rabbi Meir, who holds that the ones who played the instruments were avadim, the Canaanite servants of the Kohanim. Then kasavra in ma'alin miduchan liyuchsin. He holds that lamaisa. We do not say that just because someone was standing on that duchan, that is an automatic genealogical seal of approval, because according to Rabbi Yossi, you had non-Levim standing on that duchen, and therefore again, of course, below the Meiser, umando amar Yisrael hayu, and the mandam who says that no, the instrument players were Yisraelim, from families with impeccable genealogy, kasavar ma'alin miduchen liyuchsin. See, he holds that if you're standing on that duchen, if you're standing on those steps, it might not be an indication that you're a Levi, but it is an indication that what? That you are genealogically fit. So therefore, ma'alin miduchan liyuchsin avalo lemaiser. So according to the second opinion, which is Rabbi Yossi, standing on the Dukhan is a sign that you are genealogically fit, although it may not be a sign that you're permitted to eat Maaser Rishon, because non-Leviim were standing there as well. Uman da'amar Leviim hayu, and the one who says, last opinion, Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, who says that the instrument players were Leviim, kasara ma'alin midukhan, bein liyuchsin, bein lemaiser. Because it was like, according to Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, if you are standing on that Dukhan, people are going to interpret that to mean two things. Number one, that you are genealogically fit. Number two, that you are fit to eat Maaser Rishon, which means you're a lady. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Machlokis Bishir. So we'll say that's the Machlokas. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Machlokis Bishir Shal Shoeval. So we'll say it comes along Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba and says the Machlokas by whether or not Iker Shira Bepeh or Iker Shira Bikli. I'm sorry, actually, I take that back. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar. Le'el Koi. Rabbi Yirmiyah is actually going back on what we stated before. Aplukted Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan upalig ad Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef, now we're going back for just a moment to the previous machlokes about whether or not Shira, in this case again, the playing of the instruments, is Doche Shabbos or Doche Yom Tov. So comes on Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba and says the machlokes is only Bishir Shal Shoeva. The machlokes about whether or not Shira is Doche Shabbos is only in a case of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda Savar Simcha Yisera Nami Doche HaShabbos. Because Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda holds that even what we call Simcha Yisir, because Rabbi Yosef, here's what's interesting. Everyone's agreeing that the Shira by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not what? Is not an integral part of the Avoda. It was just something that's there for what's called Simcha Yisira, an additional measure of Simcha. So the Gemara suggests, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is suggesting now that Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda says that even Simcha Yisira is Doche HaShabbos. The Rabbanan hold Simcha Yisira ina Doche HaShabbos. The Rabbanan hold no. That's that playing an instrument for to generate additional simcha, like the simchas beis hashoeva, that is not docha shabbos. Aval b'shir shel karban, but Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to the shira for a regular obligatory offering, and you have to sing the music and you have to play the instruments, everyone agrees. Divrei hakol avodahi. Everyone agrees that the playing of the instruments is in fact considered to be part of the avoda, and therefore the docha shabbos. And therefore, ultimately, again, we'll set aside the laws of Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following: Meisvei, Shir Shavasei. And again, I want to be clear: that sounds much more dramatic than it actually is. Because remember, we saw in Tosis on Nun Amud Aleph that what? What's the nature of the prohibition of playing an instrument? Really, it's a Dirabanan. It's a Dirabanan. So again, I want to be clear: there are many more dramatic dispensations. The fact that I can offer a karban on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that in and of itself is a major chiddush. Why? Shechita, slaughtering, is one of the 39 malachas. That's a daraisa. That's a daraisa. So the truth is, again, I'm just pointing out to you, it's not such a novelty. Once you establish that the playing of the instrument is part and parcel of the avoda, then by definition, the automatic next step is that it's Docha Shabbos. So that's what's happening over here. The reason why there's a disagreement by Simchas Beis HaShoeva is because, again, that playing of the instrument is not part of the Ikra Avodah. That's what the Gemara calls Simcha Yisera, additional Simcha. But according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, when it comes to Stam Karbanos that require Shira, everyone's going to be on board that Lamaisa, the playing of the instruments, is Docha Shabbos. Meisvei, the Gemara raises a Kasha. Okay, the Gemara is the Kasha. Shir Shol Shoeva Docha HaShabbos Tiv Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. The Shira of Shoeva of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Docha HaShabbos. These are the words of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham say Af Yom Tov Eino Docha. And the Chacham say that it's not even Docha Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says Tiyufta de Rabbi Yosef Tiyufta. This would appear to be a refutation of the position of Rabbi Yosef. Look at Rashi. Tiyufta de Rabbi Yosef. To Amar Mod Rabbi Yosef Bishir Shal Shoeva Shelo Yitcha. Because once again, we have a contradiction. Rabbi Yosef is just that everybody would agree that it's Docha Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Lema Bishir Shal Shoeva Hu Devligi. Say the Machlokes is regarding the Shira of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Aval Bishir Shal Karban Divri HaKol Docha HaShabbos. But when it comes to the Shir Shal Karban, everyone will agree that it's Docha Shabbos. Therefore, again, Lema Tehevet Yufid Rav Yosef Petarti. Say, therefore, that this should be a refutation of Rav Yosef. In both cases, Amar Lecha Rav Yosef, Pligi Bishir Shal Shoeva, V'hua Din LaKarban. Rav Yosef says, in reality, they argue in the Shir of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and they also argue for Karban. They also argue in the case of Kar, meaning almost like this goes back to the previous machlokes of Iker Shira Bepeh or Iker Shira Bechlis. What Rabbi Yosef is suggesting now is that the machlokes is not limited to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but the machlokes of whether or not Shira Bechli is Doche Shabbos and Yom Tov applies to regular Karbanos as well. So if that's the case, that they're already arguing, so you're both saying, if you're already telling me that the argument is by regular Karbanos, then why do you even have to bring up Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Because Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as you said before, the Shira is not even part of the Avodah. The Shira is there for Simcha Yisera, to which the Gemara answers, L'holdi acha kocha Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. It comes to teach you the strength of the position of Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Why? The afilu d'sho'eva nami dachi. Because it also Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda holds that Shira b'kli is docha even. I'm sorry, that Shira of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, even that is docha Shabbos in Yom Tov. Okay. V'ha katoni zehu cholil Beis HaShoeva. Aye, but we learned in the Mishnah, this is the flute that was played at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. She'eino docha lo'as HaShabbos ve'lo'as HaYom Tov. And the Mishnah explicitly says that the Shira Bekli of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not docha Shabbos, is not docha Yom Tov. Zehu de'eino docha, about the carbon docha. And we can infer from that what Rabbi say, that it's the Shira of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that is not docha Shabbos. But what? The Shira of carbon can be docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, whose opinion does that reflect money? Whose opinion is that? Inema Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. If you want to tell me that it's Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, ha'amer shir shal sho'eva nami docha. I also remember Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda already holds that the shir of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is already docha Shabbos. If the shir of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is docha Shabbos, then what? Then it goes without saying that the shira of carbon is docha Shabbos as well. Elalav Rabbanon. Rather, it must be the position of the rabbis. Viti yufta de Rav Yosef petarti. And this would refute the position of Rav Yossi, because they both say Rav Yossi said that the Rabbanon argued on Shira, Shal Simchas, Shal Karbon as well. And it clearly, again, that's not the case. And if Rav Yossi would be refuted on both levels, indeed, again, Tiyufta. Okay? My timer. So what comes out of this? We'll see the Rambam in just a little bit. What comes out of this for our purposes now is that Lemaisa, again, there seems to be a machlokes. When Shira Bekli is Docha Shabbos and Yom Tov. We have again on one opinion, one side who says it's Docha by Karbanos, but Dafka when the Shira is part of the Avodah, not for something like Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where what? Where the Maisi, it's not part of the Karban, but it's what? Is what we call Simcha Yisera, so it's just additional Simcha. And then another position, a more permissive position, which seems to say that anytime there is Shira, whether it's part and parcel of the actual Avoda, or it's just a supplementary piece, it's Docha Shabbos. We'll see how he passes in just a little bit. So the Gemara goes weiter. My time out, the man damer iker Shira Bechli. So both said, this is interesting. So now, you know, we spent the whole first tap of the Daf, and really part of Amud Beis, discussing this machlokes of whether or not iker Shira is Bechli, is the major part of the Shira with instruments, or is it Bepeh, or is it singing? Now the Gemara is going to go back and say, what's the logic behind these two? Leaving aside who we paskin like, what's the logic of the two positions? My time of the mandamer iker shira b'kli. What's the reason of the mandamer who says that the primary part of shira is with a kli, with an instrument? Tchsiv, v'yomer chizkiyo laha'alos lahamizbeach. Chizkiyo HaMelech said, laha'alos olam mizbeach, to go ahead and offer up the ola on the mizbeach. Uba'is hachel ha'ola Shir Hashem. And what happened? And at the moment that they were going ahead and offering up the Ola, they began to sing the song, the Shirat Hashem, V'hachatzotzros V'al Yidei Klei David Melech Yisrael. And they used the trumpets and the instruments of David, the king of Israel. So we'll say, what do you see from here? What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk mentions the offering of the Karban, and in the next breath, what? The Shira. But not just any Shira. What kind of Shira? What kind of Shira? Shira with instruments. Chatzosros and clay David Melech Yisrael. So therefore, again, the mandamal. So you see from here the juxtaposition of the actual carbon and the Shira in the instruments tells me that what? That instrument playing is a dominant part of the Shira. So the Gemara says, my taima, demand the amar ikar Shira bepeh. Aye, so what's the logic of the one who says that the major part of Shira is Bepeh, is ultimately, again, with one's mouth, the Chsiv, Vayhi ke'echad l'mechatzitzrim. This is actually, he's quoting over here the pasuk from Dirayomim. Vayhi ke'echad, it's actually, we'll say it's a Kriyat Ksiv. It's actually read as mechatzrim, even though it has two tzaddiks in there. Vayhi ke'echad l'mechatzrim v'la mishorerim l'hashmiya kol echad. Because what does the pasuk say? They will be like the mechatz. They will be like the one who played the trumpets and like the singers to go ahead and allow their voices to be heard in a unified voice. So also, here's what's interesting. Here's what it talks about: is the trumpeters and the singers being heard in one voice, not instruments. And therefore, again, this mandam will say this shows you that what ikar shira bepeh, the primary form of shira, ultimately again is with one's mouth. I v'idach nami haksiv v'yomer chizkiyah. So Mosai, the mandam rule holds that ikar shira bepeh, that primary shira is by mouth. What does he do with the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, where Chizkiyah said to offer up the karbon together with the shira and the shira required instruments? So the Gemara says v'idach nami haksiv v'yomer chizkiyah hachi kamar hachel asher hachel shir Hashem bepeh. The song of Hakadosh Baruch Hu should begin by mouth. Al yidei kli David Melech Yisrael. Levasume kala. And what was the point of the instruments, Rabbi Osai? Actually, it's interesting because the only other time you see this word levasume is where it's by Purim. Right? Very good. The Gemara Maseches Megillah that speaks about again drinking chai vinish levasume bepuria. So according to the Madar who says ikar shira bepeh, what does he say? What does he do with this pasuk? He says, I'm not disagreeing that there are instruments. I'm just disagreeing on the role of the instruments. According to me, the instruments are not integral. What are they there for? Levasume kala. So what is levasume kala? To sweeten the voice of the singers. So to add an extra dimension of sweetness. So again, that's the pasuk saying that when the people are singing, you should add in a little something extra by what? By going ahead lemaisa and adding in the instruments. But that doesn't mean the instruments are ikr, are integral. It just means that it's nice. Ivi yidoch nami haksiv vahi ke'echa l'mechatzin u'l'meshorim. Aye, but we learned. What does the man d'amar who holds ikar shira b'kli? What is he do with the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim that seems to indicate that everybody is singing in one unified voice, which indicates again ikar shira b'peh and not b'kli? Hachikar, this is what he means. Mishorim dumya d'mechatzrim. That literally the singers are like the trumpet players. Ma mechatzrim b'kli. Just like again, the trumpet players obviously are using b'kli, are using an instrument. Af mishorim b'kli. So to those who sing by voice also must be accompanied by a kli. And if not, again, the shira is not good. So Rabbi Osai, how do we pass in halacha l'maisa? So I'm going to just show you, just read you a couple of Rambams. The first Rambam is Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam says quite clearly, Ve'ein omrim shira ela b'peh, below kli, she'ikar hashira shehi avodoso b'peh. So the Rambam paskins, and the truth is, this is what the Gemara said before when it said, Ela dekoli alma ikar shira bepeh. The primary part of shira is going to be by mouth. We have instruments, but the instruments are not the integral part of the shira. Now, that being said, the Rambam also writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, another very important halacha, which is, B'shneimasar yom b'chalil makalif me'am izbeach. There are 12 days throughout the year, and these are going to be 12 days in which we recite Hallel. That instruments were, you had to use instruments during the Shira. And when were they? Shchitas Pesach Rishon, the Shchitat Karban Pesach, which I've also said was Erev Pesach. Shchitas Pesach Sheni, which is again a month later in the year. B'yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach. B'yom Rishon Shal Atzeres, first day of Shavuos. B'shmoni Me'achad, 8 days of Sukkis. The Chalil Ze Doche Shabbos. And I've also said, interestingly enough, For this shira that they would sing really on Yom Tov, it's really on the Shalosh Regalim, that shira was Docha Shabbos, Shuchalil Shel Karban, because Rabbi Osai, apparently on days when you recite Halal on Yom Tov, the shira did become part of the actual shira, the instruments became part of the actual shira, which is part of the actual avoda. The chalil shel Karban he v'docha Shabbos. Rabbi Osai, on one hand you have the Rambam saying that ikur shira is bepeh. The major part of Shira is by mouth. On the other hand, the Rambam says, but there were days throughout the year where Lemaisa, again, Shira required instruments, and on those days, those instruments are ultimately Docha Shabbos. He says, and therefore he says, Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, in Parakhas, Halacha Yud Gimel, writes again about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he says, "V'heich ha'isa simchazu." How did they celebrate the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Hachalil makeh u'menagin b'kinur b'nevel mitzvos. They would play all these different instruments. This is actually our next Mishnah. Everybody would sing, they would dance, they would clap. The simchazu eina docha es haShabbos ve'es hayomtiv. So Barabbas say again, but the Rambam clearly says that the simcha yisera that is generated by the instruments on Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not Docha Shabbos. So three major facts. Number one, Ikar Shira Bepeh. The major part of Shira is by mouth, not by instruments. Number two, but there were 12 days throughout the year. Again, two of them are not Yontif, so it doesn't really count as much. It's not as dramatic. But there were days, i.e. the Regalim, throughout the year when, again, you needed to have music as part of the Shira. Special halacha by those Yom Tovim. During those times, instruments are considered part of the Shira. Shira is part of the Avodah, and therefore, again, on those days, the instruments will be Docha Shabbos. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the instruments are Simcha Yisera, provide additional Simcha, and are not Docha Shabbos. Says the Mishnah. Mishalo Ra, also, this is very beautiful, Gemara. Mishalo Ra, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Ra, Simcha Miyamav. If you have not seen the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you have not seen Simcha in your days. It's a beautiful Mishnah. So what do they do? Just building up the suspense for a moment. Okay, what would they do? So Matzah Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, on the Matzah Yom Tov Rishon, I will say Matzah Yom Tov Rishon means on the night after the first day. Remember, this is a one-day model of Yom Tov. The night after the first day, which essentially is the first night of Chol HaMoed, the night before the first day of Chol HaMoed, what happened? So the Yardu Le'ezras Noshim, they went into the women's section. I will say what we call the Ezras Noshim is this. The Ezras Noshim was the largest part of the, one of the largest parts. You can see it's virtually equal in size to the rest of the Mikdash. This is called the Ezras Noshim over here. So everybody would go into the Ezras Noshim. And what happened? Umetaknin Sham Tikun Godol. And they made a very important enactment. Tikkun means literally a remedy. They did something very important in the Ezras Noshim, which we'll discuss. What did they do? Menorah Shel Zav HaYishon. I will say, must have been so beautiful. They had long, they had tall menorahs. So, okay, what are we going to call it? Not a menorah like a menorah, it's almost like a street light. Like what they had to do was remember, under normal circumstances, people didn't gather in the Beis HaMikdash at night. Why? Right? There's no nightlife in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Nothing going on. No pizza stores. No, I'm saying there's nothing to see here, people, right? I'm saying it's closed. There's no avoda. The only thing that happens in the Beis HaMikdash at night is they burn the leftover fats and limbs. So they didn't have necessarily the means for illumination always there. They brought in like these tall lanterns. These tall lanterns that were made of gold. And each one of these long lanterns held four large bowls of oil. And that's how they would provide illumination. And then what happened? You needed a ladder to go up to each of the bowls of oil. So it's so beautiful. And four young kohanim, right? You'd have one young kohen would go ahead and take the oil and the wicks up to each of the bowls to be able to kindle it. And they were in their hands, they were holding jugs of 120 lug of oil. Now I will say, they weren't holding jugs of 120 lug of oil. That's a lot of oil. What it could be saying is that the lanterns in total used 120 lug of oil. But the commentaries point out, the Marsha points this out and others, that sometimes when you see the number 120, it's a little bit of hyperbole. He actually says the same way that we say to people, you should live until 120. Where does that come from? That comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. So 120 comes to represent the number that represents a lot. A lot. So they carried up a lot of oil. And they poured the oil into each of the bowls on top of the base of the lantern. So what did they do? They made wicks out of the worn-out pants and worn-out belts of Kohanim. Uba, and also remember, this is a permitted way to dispose of those garments, because Lamaise, again, you're using it in a Kaddishic fashion. Uba hen hayu matlikin, and they would use these as wicks. Velo haya chatzer b'Yerushalayim, she'eino mi'ira mi'ar beis ha'shoeva. And there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that was not illuminated by, bless you, that was not illuminated by the lights in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Chassidim v'anshei maisa. So both say the very righteous men, the chassidim, the very righteous men, and anshei maisa, the men of great deeds, hayum miraktin bifneim, would dance in front of all the people. Ba'avukos shel or shebiyadeyem. They used to, bless you, they juggled fire. They juggled fire. It's almost like you can imagine this, you know, seeing the Gedolei Hadar, juggling fire. Ba'omim lifneihem. Divrei shiros v'sishpachos, and they would sing in front of them words of praise, words of tishpachos. V'halevim bikinoros, and the levim would be playing their harps. U'benavam, the lyres. U'vemitzalsayim, their cymbals. Chatzotzros, the trumpets. U'beklei shir below mispar, and instruments beyond count. Al chamesh esrei ma'alos hayardos me'ezras yisrael le'ezras nashim. Kineged chamesh esrei ma'alos shevetilim, and they would sing on the 15 steps that go from Ezras Yisrael to Ezras Nashim, and they would sing on each of those steps. Why 15? The 15 steps correspond to the 15 Shira Maluses that David HaMelech has in Tehillim. Sha'aleim Levi'in Omdim B'Klei Shir V'Omim Shira, and on those steps the Levi'im would stand with their instruments and would sing. Rabbos, again, just to give you an idea as to where this is all happening. Remember, the people are standing in the Ezras Nashim, general populace in the Ezras Nashim. Here, that semicircle, those are the 15 steps that the Mishnah just described. So Levim would be standing on these steps over here, playing their instruments, singing Shira. And what happens? Va'amdu shnei kohanim b'shara elyon. And two kohanim would be standing in the upper gate. The Rabbos said the upper gate in this context means over here, Shar Nikanor. Shar Nikanor is the gate right behind the 15 steps that led into the Beis HaMikdash compound proper. And what happened? Karag, I'm sorry. Shiyor Ushne chatzotzros piyadein, and they had two trumpets in their hands. Kara hagever, and I was like, what is kara hagever? We saw this in Yuma. So kara hagever could either mean they had a crier. They had a guy who used to go out and call out Barakai, right, it's dawn. Or it could either mean that the guy called out, or they saw that it dawned. Remember, the Moshe, they would party mamish throughout the night. Literally, this was the simcha, went on until dawn. They'd call out that the dawn has dawned. Taku veheriu vitaku. They would go ahead and blow a tekiah, true and a tekiah, and Abbas said this was a sign that it was now time to do Nisuch HaMayim. This was a sign that it was now time to go to the Shiloach and ultimately draw the water. Higiyu lema'ala asiris, when they reached the 10th step, Taku, and Abbas said this is now referring to over here, this is, if you look at Rashi says over here, actually, we'll say it outside, this is talking about another process for Nisuch HaMayim. So remember again, they spent the night partying. Then dawn has dawned. Now it's time to go to the Shiloach, go ahead and get the water. And when they were coming back, they would get to the 10th step. Taku veheriu v'taku. They would blow tekiah, true tekiah. Higiyu la'azor, when they got to the courtyard, taku veheriu v'taku. Skip the parentheses. Hayutokin v'holchin ad shemagiyin l'shar hayotzi mimizrach. They would go ahead and continue to blow. Really, it's not a shofar, it's a chatzotzros, until they got to the gate that would exit eastward. Higiyu l'shar hayotzi mimizrach, when they would get to the gate that was leading out to the east, hafchu pneihem, they turned their faces around, mimizrach l'marav, from the east to the west, and they would say the following, v'amru, avosenu shahayu b'makom hazeh, our forefathers who stood in this place, b'makom hazeh, achoreim elaheichal upneihem keidma, their backs were to the Beis HaMikdash, and they faced east towards the sun, and they used to bow down eastward towards the sun. So it's a very interesting declaration. They essentially were saying, our ancestors worshipped idolatry. Our ancestors, now why you would say this now, we'll get to in the Gemara. But our ancestors stood in this place, but the difference is they stood here with their backs to the Beis HaMikdash, facing the sun, because they chose the sun over the Ribono Shel Olam. V'anu l'ka einenu. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we, our eyes look to you. Rabbi Huda says, Shonin va'omim. They'd actually repeat, and they would say, Anu l'ka u'l'ka einenu. We are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our eyes directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Misha lo ra'a simchas beis ha-sho'eva, lo ra'a simcha miyamam. Someone who did not see the simchas beis ha-sho'eva has never really truly seen simcha throughout his life. Now we'll say, the Gemara is going to give another couple of examples of this. Misha lo ra'a yushayim tif'arta, lo ra'a krach nechmad me'oblam. And whoever has not seen Yerushalayim in its full glory has never seen a beautiful city. You know, we'll say, it's interesting. You know, in the a couple of years before the Rav passed away, Bless you. People approached Rav Soloveitchik and felt that they perhaps we should take out Nachim or update Nachim from Shmona Esrei in Tisha B'Av. Remember, Nachim is a supplemental paragraph we put in the Tisha B'Av afternoon. And in Nachim, it refers to Yerushalayim as a Shir Shafela Bezuya. It's degraded. It's this. And I said to the Rav, you know what? Is that the 67 war? We have Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is ours. Even, you know, even Harabayit Biyadeinu, even Harabayis is ours, even if we don't yet worship there. So maybe we should amend this. So the Rav says, you have to understand something. Yes, Yerushalayim is magnificent. Yerushalayim is wonderful. Yerushalayim is beautiful. Every inch of it is particularly beautiful. But the Rav said that Yerushalayim of today doesn't hold a candle to what Yerushalayim was and what Yerushalayim will be. So therefore, says the Rav, when we say Bizuya and Shefela, it's not saying that it's not beautiful. It's saying what it compared to what it could be. Compared to what it could be, it's not yet there. So the Gemara is saying over here, if you did not see Yerushalayim in its full glory, Lo ra'a krach nechma, you've never seen a beautiful city. Mishla ra'a beis hamikdash bevinyano, someone who did not see the beis hamikdash built in its full state, Lo ra'a binyan mafur, has never seen a beautiful building. Apparently, there was nothing more beautifully architecturally than the Beis HaMikdash. So first of all, the Gemara says, Maihi. So the Gemara just says, first of all, which Beis HaMikdash are we referring to? Right? So remember, there are essentially three Batei Mikdash. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Maihi. Ezo min ha-binyonim shal Shlomo, o shal Nechemya ben Chachalya, o shal Hordus, shesasru b'nor. So remember, there's the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built by Shlomo HaMelech. There's the second Beis HaMikdash, which was built by Nechemya. Right? So the prophet Nechemya. But remember, again, there was Beis HaMikdash Extreme Makeover Edition, right? Hordos, Herod, came along and totally redid the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shai, the Gemara is asking over here, is when you say that if you haven't seen the Beis HaMikdash, you've never seen beautiful architecture, which structure are we referring to? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Bitim Rav Chisda, Ze Binyan Hordos. We're referring to the Herodian temple. So the Gemara says, B'nai B'no, what did Hordos build this Beis HaMikdash with? This is amazing. Amar Rava, Ba'avne Shisha Umirma. He built it with Avne Shisha Umirma, which Rabosa again is white and greenish marble. White and greenish marble. Ika da Amri, Ba'avne Shisha Kuchlo Umirma. Others say, no, it wasn't just white and green marble. Rather, it was white, green, and blue marble. Apik Safa, Va'ayil Safa. And he did something very interesting. Rabosa, when you build, especially when you built, I guess, maybe building techniques are different, but you had stones, and you obviously have to keep the stones together. What do you keep the stones together with? With mortar. What's the problem? The problem is that very often on the front, on the exterior of the building, you could see the mortar in between the stones. Herod did not want the mortar to be visible. So instead, what did he do? He went, apik safa va'al safa. He had some of the stones protrude, like one row protruding, and one row recessed. The Rabbos said, by doing that, if you can imagine what that would look like, by doing that, the mortar is not going to be visible on the exterior because the mortar could be placed on the overlap area of the stones that's not visible. Kihechi de la kabel sida. In order to be able to put the mortar on the overlap area of the stones without it being visible from the outside. Savar lemishayim bedavar. Rabbos said, listen to this. So, now the Gemara says that Herod wanted to put gold over. He wanted to cover the entire outside of the Beis HaMikdash with gold. But also remember again, Herod was a little bit of Herod virtually killed out the entire Sanhedrin. He killed out virtually the entire Sanhedrin. He was upset because remember, Hordos was one of the Hasmonean slaves. He's one of the Hasmonean servants. He led a rebellion. He led a rebellion for a girl. He fell in love with one of the Hashmonai daughters who killed herself rather than go ahead and marry Herod. And he was very upset because the people would not accept him as legitimate king because he was an Evan. He wasn't the legitimate Jewish king. So he virtually killed out the Sanhedrin. He felt very bad. Yeah, okay. Understandably so. He felt very bad because he went, and therefore, again, the way he tried to make it up to the Jewish people was to rebuild and expand the Beis HaMikdash. So he's an interesting figure. So he wanted to coat the entire outside of the Beis HaMikdash in gold. Amru lo Rabbanan, Shavkei. The rabbis told him, you know what, leave it alone. Why was it? Listen to this. Dehachi Shapir Tvei. Because we like it the way that it is. Why? De Mischazi Ke'adusa Demaya. Because when you look outside, when you look at the baseline, you know what it looks like? It looks like the waves of the sea. But so if you can imagine this for a moment, how beautiful this must have been. Remember, you have this white, blue, and green colors intermixed. Plus, remember, because the stones are recessed and protrude, so what does it do? It creates like a wavy-like exterior. So Chazal felt, the rabbis felt, that here when you look at the Beis Hamikdash, it reminds you of the sea. Also, like, why do you want the Beis Hamikdash to remind you of the sea? We already have this connection already to the sea through Tcheles. There's the Gemara Menachos discusses, Tcheles domel yam, yam domel rakia, rakia domel kisei hakavod. This idea that somehow creating this image of the sea connects us to the celestials, here to the Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So apparently the Rabbanim were so enthralled by this idea that the Beis Hamikdash looked like the waves of the sea. They said to Herod, as beautiful as and as nice as it would be to have the gold, we don't need the gold. Quite beautiful. Tanya, Rabbi Huda says, Mishalo Rabbos, this is also very interesting. Mishalo Ra'a, di yuflustun. Do one, if you did not see the diuflustun of Alexandria, Shal Mitzrayim, if you did not see the diuflustun of Alexandria in Egypt, Lo ra'a bichvodan shal Yisrael. Then you have not seen the glory of the Jewish people. Look at Rashi. Diyuflustun. Lashon Yevonis. So this is a Greek word. Dio ishnayim. Dio means two. Palu lashon sarin. Palu means like sarin, important ministers. Kimon metrapolin. So both say this diyuflustun. What sounds like it was a It was a gathering place for the Jewish people in Alexandria that served really as a shul, as we're going to see in just a little bit, and also a place where the important people convened. So if you did not see the Diyuflustun in Alexandria, you have not seen the true covenant of the Jewish people. Amru, Kamin Basilki Gidola. It was like a large basila, Haisa Stav Lifnim Mistav, that had multiple rows of benches, one within the other. Pamim shahayu ba shishim revo. It could accommodate, Rabbi Osai, 2 times 600,000 people. Kiyot kiflayim kiyotzi mitzrayim. So it could accommodate more. Obviously, again, using a little bit of hyperbole here. Twice as much as the number of Jews who left Egypt. Vahayu ba, and they were inside of it. They were inside of it. Ayin alif kitachros. 71 shares that were shells of, that were made out of gold. Kineged ayin alef shel Sanhedrin gedola, in order to be able to accommodate the 71 great elders of the Sanhedrin. In Alexandria, Rabbosai, they reconstituted a new Sanhedrin, a quasi-Sanhedrin. So they had 71 gold chairs to be able to accommodate the members of this newly constituted Sanhedrin. Kol achas v'achas eina pechusa me'eshem ve'echad rivo. And literally each chair was not worth less than 21 myriads of kikari zahav, of gold. So each chair itself was incredibly, what was of an incredible amount. Ubima shalit ba'em sa'isa, and there was a bima of wood in the middle, a wooden platform in the middle. V'chazan ha'kneses omeid aleha. And the chazan of the Shulchan Aruch, and I understand this chazan over here, means the gabai. The chazan would stand in the middle, and what would he do? V'hasudarin biado, and he'd have flags in his hand. Kevon shiegia la'anos amen. When it was time to answer for the kila to answer amen, halo manif besudar, he would wave one flag. And what happened? The chala'am onin amen. Everybody would answer amen. So we'll say, so you see what's happening over here? So this was a major place used for gathering, Sanhedrin, davening. It was so big that there was no way for people to be able to hear the chazan, meaning the one who was actually leading the tilos. So the gabbai would stand there with a flag. Again, how halachically this works is a different discussion. But essentially, we need to wave the green flag so that everybody would know, answer amen. Chala'am onin amen. Velo hayu yoshvin mu'uravin. So I'll say this is really fascinating. And when people would come there, they would not just sit wherever they wanted. Ella, rather, what we're going to see is every professional group sat with its own group. Every professional sat with its own group. Ella zahavin bifne atzman. The gold workers, the goldsmiths sat themselves. Ksufin bifne atzman, silversmiths sat themselves. Nifachin bifne atzman, blacksmiths sat themselves. Tarsim bifne atzman, so we'll say tarsim are coppersmiths, sat by themselves. Gardim bifne atzman, the weavers sat by themselves. Ukishani nichna sham, when a poor person would walk in, Rabbi Osei, and the poor person would want to find work, what would he do? Hayamakir bali umno, so he would make sure to sit with the group whose skill set he shared. And that would help him to go ahead and find a job for himself and for his house. So we'll say it's quite amazing. Now again, it's not clear what the motivation of this type of seating arrangement was, but for job purposes, what it allowed for is if you were out of work and you needed to find a job, so when you went ultimately again into shul, you were able to know where the different trades groups sat, and that enabled you to be able to find work. Quite amazing. Amar Abaye. So we'll say, before we go on, I just want to show you something interesting. If you look at Rashi Stav Kafel, this is very interesting. Rashi says, the yeshiva sarim shalachzandria, shahol husham yochanan ben karach, ushari hachayon l'achar chobin bayis rishon, bimei yirmiya. Then it says, now we'll say, when did the community in Alexandria, when was it settled? Right after the destruction of the first temple. So this is when the community in Alexandria really took root. So we'll say this is interesting. So again, during the times of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, seems to even a little bit before, the Jewish community in Alexandria began. Now Nebuchadnezzar ultimately conquers Egypt. And when he does, there is incredible bloodshed for the Jewish community, but the Jewish community itself rebuilds and regenerates there. Now, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amra Baye, Vikulhu Katlinu Alexandros Mokto. And this entire community was wiped out by Alexander the Macedonian. Now, I will say, here's what's interesting about this. The Gra, if you take a look, you see the Hagos Hagra on the left-hand side of the page. So the Hagos Hagra is a little bit, is hey. He said, he deletes Alexandrius, and he says instead it's Tarquinius, which was the Roman Emperor Tarjan. See, he says that it wasn't Alexander the Macedonian who wiped out the Jewish community of Alexandria. The Gra feels that's historically incorrect. Rather, it must have been, again, the Roman Emperor of Tarjan, which Rabbos say, we know historically the Roman Emperor of Tarjan was a terrible, terrible man. He was the Roman Emperor right after Hadrian. So remember, until Hadrian, there was virtually no religious persecution under the Romans. There was death and bloodshed, but Jews were able to, but that was just because as a conquering army. Hadrian is one who introduces Hadrianic persecution. That's when the Asara Harugi Malchus occur. That's after, remember, and Hadrianic persecution occurs when? Only after what event? The Bar Kokhba rebellion. Remember, 6 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Romans didn't persecute us religiously because they felt after they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we'd be done. 60 years later, we're still not done. Bar Kokhba rebellion. After Bar Kokhba rebellion, Hadrianic persecution, Asar Harugei Malchus, and the Roman Emperor Tarjan is the one who carries on Hadrianic persecution. So the Gra feels that it's not Alexander the Macedonian, because historically, it doesn't flow well. It does well. Alexander is really too early. It's too early. So ultimately, again, it says Roman Emperor Tarshan. Okay. My time, Ma'ianshu. Why is it? So why was the Jewish community of Alexandria punished so severely? Mishum da'avri ahai kra. Because they violated the following pasuk. Lo sosifun loshu b'derach hazeh od. Od. Because we'll say, what does the pasuk say? The Baruch Hu says, when he took us out of Egypt, that we are not permitted to go back and settle in Mitzrayim. We are not permitted to go back and settle in Egypt, and the Jewish community in Alexandria was in violation of this prohibition, and therefore, again, they warranted destruction. Now, I will say, why ultimately, again, why such a severe penalty for the violation of 11? Furthermore, again, this is a big kasha, not for our topic today, but many great people lived in Egypt throughout the years, including the Rambam, including the Ravid, and many others. So it's an interesting discussion about how they were able to live in Egypt despite the fact that there's a prohibition. But like I said, not a topic for today. The pasuk says that you're not permitted to go back to Egypt. They went back, and that's the Gemara feels that the Jewish community of Alexandria met with such a bitter end. Ki asaf ashkechinu dahavu kara b'sifra. When he came. Now he, who's the he? The one who conquered the Jewish community of Alexandria. So whether it's Alexander the Macedonian, or as the Gra said, probably better, the Roman Emperor Tarjan, he said he saw that he heard them reading the Torah. And what did it say in the Torah? Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Meirachok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon you an enemy from a distant land, and he will conquer you. We'll say this is by the Tokacha. Omer. So the Emperor Tarjan said to himself, Michti. Hahu gavra boy lemeise sefinta ba'asara yome. What happens? The trip, I guess, from the capital to Alexandria was supposed to take me by boat, set 10 days. Dalia zeka va'asi sefinta b'chamisha yome. But yet a strong wind came and moved my boat, and I made it here in 5 days. So the emperor took this to be a divine sign that he had kfitzas haderech. He made it to Egypt in half the time. He took this as a divine sign that he was supposed to be the agent of destruction. Nafal alayu bakatlinu. And as a result of all that, he saw himself as the agent of destruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he went ahead and destroyed the city of Alexandria. B'matzah Yom Tov. Remember, what did the Mishnah say? On Matzah Yom Tov, they would go ahead, everybody assembled in the Ezras Nashim. And what happened? The Mishnah says they made a tikkun gadol. They made a very important enactment. My tikkun gadol, what is this big tikkun they made in the women's section? Amar Belazar, ke'osa shishaninu. It's like we learned earlier. Chaloka ha'yseva rishona, v'kifua gustra. In the beginning, the Ezras Noshim was a flat surface, and then they made a gustra. Abos say gustra means a balcony. They made a balcony in the women's section. V'hiskinu, and they instituted, she'noshim yoshvos milamala, v'anoshim milamata. So also, what was the big tikkun? They made a balcony in the Ezras Nashim. And they had the women, they put the women on the top balcony, and the women and the men were on ground level. Now, why did this happen? Tana Rabbanan. Barishona hayu noshim mibifnim, v'anoshim mibachotz. In the beginning, the way we used to work for Simchas Beis Hashrei, remember, we'll say everybody's gathered together. So what happened? The women were on the inside, meaning the women were in the Ezras Nashim, so that's called the Ezras Nashim. The Anashim Mibachutz, and the men were on the outside. Abos said, remember, where are you if you are outside of the Ezras Nashim? Where are you? I mean, you don't see in the picture. You're here. They're here, which means you're outside, you're on the Harabais. So the women were in the Ezras Nashim, the men were on the outside. What happened? Vahayu Ba'in Lidei Kalus Rosh. And Abos said, there was Kalus Rosh. Now, what does Kalas Rosh mean in this particular context? Kalas Rosh means there was just frivolity. There was too much mingling. And the truth is, again, remember, this is the Davar Shebekdusha. People are people. And ultimately, again, there was lightheadedness. So what happened? So I was saying, okay, maybe what we need to do is maybe we need to go ahead and switch positions here. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe if we keep a closer eye on the men, right? Generally, it's the men who are the problem. Maybe if we keep a closer eye on the men, keep the men in the Ezras Nashim, let the women be on the Harabais, maybe we'll be able to make things a little bit more appropriate. Va'adayin hayu bo'in lidei kalos rosh. And there was still a spirit of frivolity that was occurring. Hiskinu sheyehei sheyehu noshim yoshos milamala, va'anoshim mi lemata. And at that point, then they realized that they had to make a separation, and therefore they put the women on the balcony, and the men again were on the lower level. So we'll say again, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, "V'hekifa gustra." Rashi says, "Nasnu zizin b'ksom." They put these pieces of wood. Now, we'll say, I want to be clear: the balcony was not there all year round. What they did is they had wood protruding. Mina kosa savisa v'chol hashana masajin sham gusturos. Luchim, Shekorn Blanc, Kadeshi Noshim Omdo Sham, Besimchas Beis Hashreva, Veroz, Vezeo Tikun Godo, Diktani Masnitsin, Shemetakni Bechol Shana. So we'll say, so again, essentially they made a balcony all along the Ezras Nashim, and this was the Tikun Godo. We'll say, why is this important for us? Because this is the concept of Mechitza. This is the concept, ultimately, again, of separation during religious service. Comes from this very, so that's why, interestingly enough, some poskim write that the preferred model for mechitza is what? Is balcony based on the fact that it mimics the original mechitza that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Again, just a reminder, Emir Hashem, we pick up again tomorrow morning, 5:45. It's a long daf again tomorrow. I appreciate it.